Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 79. It's August 18th, 2020. Most topics are not worth having an opinion about. That's it. That's the reading for today. It's from James Clear's 321 Thursday email last week, August 13th. Most topics are not worth having an opinion about. We're in a world where we're confronted with opinions all the time. It's big business. Opinions are big business. The so-called news organizations have moved largely into opinion machines. They spout opinions about everything at maximum volume till the next commercial break all the time in near real time. And as Lanham would point out in Revising Prose, if we're not careful, we can suffer from stylistic imitation. We can imitate the style we see often. We come to behave like that. In his case, in that book, he's talking about writing, and rather than writing in plain, simple, direct English, we have, in his argument, adopted the official style. He calls it a bureaucratic speak, where we hide meaning, actors, action under a sea of prepositions and passive verbs and long-windedness that's not necessary and certainly not helpful. Not helpful into getting things done, perhaps helpful in subverting actual motives and outcomes and such things. So most topics are not worth having an opinion about. I think it's healthy to just have a short little wake-up call every once in a while and just not have an opinion about something. It's even different than saying, I don't know. We all need to say, I don't know more often. I don't know. What do I know about that thing? Even if you know some stuff about the thing, it's still okay simply to not have an opinion on that item. If you want to have an opinion, great. Per recent sort of chatter here about writing and getting ideas out of your head, Fred Wilson in particular, venture capitalist, sharing his views there, which I went through lately. You might think you have an opinion on something. Test that hypothesis by writing it down, and then read it. See if it's clear. See if it's persuasive. And find out if you actually think what you think about something. And then there's another angle to take on this too, which is the idea of the ideological Turing test. You have probably heard about the Turing test. You have a computer. And you can it pass the Turing test, which is to say, answer questions, interact with us, so that we can't tell if it's human or machine. It's the basic gist of the ideological Turing test. And I'm sorry, that's the basic gist of the Turing test proper. And then the ideological Turing test came along in a debate between a couple of economists, I think, online or through the press, Paul Krugman, and maybe I'll go find this for the show notes. Maybe it was Brian Kaplan. Of course, each accusing the other of not being able, not understanding the opposing view as well. I think it started with Krugman saying that he could simulate a conservative view well, and conservatives, being stupid in his mind, couldn't do the same. And Brian Kaplan, I think, said, "I'll take that challenge. Let's meet up and prove it somewhere." I'm not sure that they ever did that. But it's an interesting idea. And for ourselves personally, if you take a view, the ideological Turing test is, can you present the opposing view or opposing views as completely, comprehensively, and persuasively as the proponents of that view? If you fail the test, then you don't know enough to have your own opinion, really. Your opinion is not challenged. And what we all have to be careful in today's media-saturated and inanity-saturated media, we have to be careful that we're not stylistically imitating them. Because really, on so-called news networks, there's two shows, primarily. Occasionally, major world events break out, and they cover it live with no relensing, with no commentary, without their opinions being spouted. But when they do, I would argue there's like two main show themes. One is the hypocrisy of the other, and two is punching at straw men. So you have one show where they artfully point out the hypocrisy of isolated clips, out of context bits, or from another period in time, from the other side, the quote, other side. And therefore, by showing the hypocrisy of the other side, not presenting the hypocrisy of their own side, they intend to persuade us to their own argument or opinion. It's like whenever I happen to look at these things, it seems to be like half their coverage dominates their shows. And we've had comics like Jon Stewart and John Oliver just build highly lucrative machines off nothing but this little formula. So that's the hypocrisy of the other. The other one is punching at straw men. You just kind of grab the weakest, stupidest version of the opposing view, and you hold it up as if it's representative of the best of the other side, and you just punch it mercilessly. This happens all the time, too. And we've talked a little bit about Frederick Bastiat here in some of these dispatches, a French economist that lived in the first half of the 1800s. And he has this great quote: "The worst thing that can happen to a good cause is not to be skillfully attacked, but to be ineptly defended." The worst thing that can happen to a good cause is not to be skillfully attacked, but to be ineptly defended. And of course, the major quote-unquote news networks have turned this into a profession. You can be hired to be, quote, liberal or, quote, conservative, to sit there as a punching bag and present the worst versions of things. And of course, the real trick with a lot of these so-called news networks is that all they're trying to do is fill time, keep us watching till the next commercial break, and then again, and then again, and then again. And we've talked here at length about McLuhan-related ideas that it confounds me that still 90% of what they do, 95% of what they do, is just grabbing newspaper columns and TV segments and throwing them on URLs online instead of using the web as the medium that it is. And from a John Taylor Gatto standpoint, his 7-lesson school teacher ideas, they are not there to explain things to us and arm us with information and understanding and wisdom. They're there to break us down. They're there to get us to tune in again. They're there to, for the high five, it's a high five patrol. Haha, look at the other side. Look how hypocritical they are. And look how ridiculous their positions are. The hypocrisy of the other and punching at straw men. Meanwhile, it's wholly appropriate to simply not have an opinion about a great many topics, but we're all lulled into this idea that we have to have an opinion about everything. So we better watch what these people are doing, what opinions they have about these other things. It's irritating and infuriating. And a nice defense of it all is to write every day. Start practicing again for the things you might have an opinion on. The topics that are purely factual, professional, that you think you know, test how well you know it by writing it down. See how long you can sustain plain English sentences that hold together and make sense. This is Wendell Berry saying, forget about last words. We need to reach a point where we can write one sentence that we can share with another person in a way that makes sense and that they understand. The very basic building blocks here. So today, relatively short one, just riffing off of our friend James Clear and the idea that most topics are not worth having an opinion about. I grant you the irony of having an opinion about not having an opinion. That's fair. Y'all have a good one. Thanks.